Authorities in the Indonesian city of Palu are burying their dead in mass graves after the earthquake and tsunami that killed more than 840 people and left thousands homeless. The death toll is expected to keep rising as areas cut off by the damage are reached. The magnitude 7.5 earthquake struck at dusk last Friday local time and generated a tsunami said to have been as high as 6 metres in places. Our Indonesia correspondent Anne Barker is in Palu.
Well, Sabra, we've been down to the beach in Palu yesterday. It was our first real day on the ground here, and I have to say it was quite shocking just to see the extent of it. You know, that there were so many houses just right up against the beach, and they didn't stand a chance. You know, there were a lot of houses that were pushed right back, a lot of bodies still inside. In the short time that we wandered around one section, we saw several bodies being pulled out. Now those bodies are being collected and taken to the hills, ultimately above Palu. There are already mass graves being built for obvious health reasons, and that's one of the things I think that will continue today. Volunteers were digging graves yesterday. I think they buried up to 500 people, and they're preparing to bury a lot more today.
Has the government been able to get any aid and heavy earth-moving equipment into the areas where it's needed?
Look, what I've heard is that any earth-moving equipment that is being used, any excavators to lift rubble and so on, is largely from private companies. That's not to say that the government or any aid organisations are not trying to get equipment in, but there simply just hasn't been the ability to do that. You know, they have opened the airport at Palu. They have had some flights coming in the last couple of days. I gather a Hercules, at least one, if not more, came in yesterday. But just how much equipment came in is uncertain, and it's impossible to think that it would have been enough to deal with the number of sites there are with so much rubble and so many bodies probably still under flattened buildings. So there is going to continue to be a huge need for that kind of support. And we've seen very little in the way of, you know, aid organisations on the ground. It's just extraordinary how few organisations, no sign of, you know, the UN or Red Cross. It's possible they are here and we just haven't seen them, but I would have thought we'd see something to suggest there is a huge aid presence here.
Well, that really raises then questions about medical supplies, water and food. Are they getting to the people who need it?
Well, look, I don't know, and I do wonder that. I mean, yesterday we had someone come past just literally asking for some of our water. The water that is available is largely bottled water. I mean, there seems to be no shortage of that where we've been, but the pipes, you know, I gather the pipes in most, if not all, parts of town have been broken. The hotel where we're supposedly staying has only one bathroom operating and a communal shower, and that is the same right across the city. People are continuing to sleep outside. Water is coming largely from bottles, and you have to wonder what the supply of that is in town and how long that will last. There are tens of thousands of people living under tarpaulins and tents. I have no idea where their food and drink is coming from. We saw one, you wouldn't even call it a restaurant, one little stall yesterday that was actually open selling food. And so there's a lack of public food available, if you like. People are having to rely on their own supplies.
Indonesia correspondent Anne Barker.